get started here this morning. Like I said in Sunday school, it's good to see each and every one of you. I'm thankful to God that He got us all here safely. Thankful we get to be in church together.
Come on.
Among the brethren, people we're going to spend eternity with.
Hey!
People I know that I'm very thankful for. Thankful to be in church. I'm thankful for the building that He's given us to stay out of the elements. Thank you for the heat. Thankful for the fellowship we have here. I'm thankful for the Word of God. I'm thankful for the message that was preached in Sunday school. I needed to hear it.
Amen.
And I definitely need to do a better job of praying for our leaders. It's not that I don't pray for them, but I'm very good at praying for them and then being mad at them 6 hours later. So I think all of us could probably, if we're being truthful, could admit that this morning's Sunday school message steps on all our toes. But the Word of God does tell us that even though Joe Biden doesn't seem to be a righteous man to me, God has allowed him to be in that position for whatever reason he saw fit. And I for one, need to be a better Christian at thanking God for that, even though I don't understand it whatsoever. Admittedly, I didn't vote for the man, but he's there. And I need to be a better Christian and better at praying for him and his soul, because we were talking, just praying in there just moments ago. And if that man would die today, if he doesn't know Jesus Christ, he's going to be in an eternal hell. And it's on us as Christians to be praying for that man's soul, praying for his family, praying for God to bring someone across his path that can give him the gospel and show him what Jesus Christ did for him. We may never have the opportunity to speak to the man, but we can certainly pray that God would send someone his way. I'm thankful for that reminder in Sunday school this morning. Before we get started, I'm going to ask Brother Lance if you'd open us up with a word of prayer.
Father, we thank you for the chance to come together on this morning. And it's truly a blessing to be here in the house of God, hear the Word of God spoken to us. Mostly to hear about your Son. Please open our hearts now. We ask in Jesus' name.
Amen. Before we sing our first song, I just wanted to share a verse the Lord brought across my path while I was reading the Word. And something that I'm going to use this verse as a reminder and a heart's prayer for this church. I read this verse over and over and just thought, man, how awesome is this? It says Psalms 133:1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And I thought, how awesome is that? That's going to be my heart's prayer. I'm going to let that verse lead me in praying for this church. I'm going to see this church going together in unity. I know how it is, how awesome it is, the fellowship I have here, and how we can just continue to progress in that and go together in unity and pray that God would give our pastor a vision for the church, that He'd also reveal to us that we can be behind it and go together, serving God together. Man. Something God has been really opening my eyes on. We know we got to read our Bible, we got to pray, but He's really been putting it heavy on my heart to make sure that I'm praying for each one of you guys. And I heard a preacher once say, you don't realize how blessed you are if just one person's praying for you.
Yeah.
You are unbelievably blessed if one person takes time to pray for you. And it's so true. And I know there's people in this church that pray for me. And I want you to know that me and my wife do pray for you. We do. And we want nothing more than to see God work in your lives and get you through. I know some of you are dealing with some very heavy things. But just know we're praying for you. And God knows what you're going through, and we don't always understand what we're going through, but God does, and He's got a purpose for it. But I just want you to know that there is someone praying for you. I know Pastor's praying for you. I don't have to ask him. I know Pastor prays for me just by the relationship we have. And just want you to know that I'm thankful for each one of you. I really am. You have no idea how excited me and my wife are to come to church. A lot of things we'll skip throughout the week, but man, we are excited to get here on Sunday and be here on Wednesday. We look forward to it. We really do. Just want to thank you for that. All right, if you would, if you're able and willing, I'm going to ask you to please stand. We're going to turn to page 390. We're going to sing a song about God's love. Love lifted me.
I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the end. Amen. Glad to be saved this morning. A few little announcements here. We have handed these out on Wednesday. We put them over here. Doing a little something different with making a church bulletin now. So feel free to take one. There's some over here. We'll get more printed out if we need them. We're going to try to do this for every month within the year. Put out a bulletin, basically, not only prayer requests, but things that may be occurring for the month. Missionaries to pray for, our government leaders as well, to pray for our government leaders. I just want to make something clear from the Sunday School Hour. I do not agree with everything that our government is doing. And I'm not jumping around for joy for who's in leadership positions. But I do know that we ought to pray for them. And I just want to make that clear that, little pastor, just no. I got the same struggles you got with what's going on in this world. But I believe I know what our Bible says that we ought to do as Christians. And that we ought to pray for our leaders. And I believe the Bible is pretty clear on that. And so we got our leaders in here. We got our governor. We got our local leaders. Our mayor here, Ms. Schlegel, and mayor of North Caddy, mayor of Allentown, mayor of Bethlehem, police chief of both Caddy, North Caddy, Bethlehem, and Allentown. Pray for our police, fire, and EMS, and healthcare, our state leaders. Our senators, our state representatives, our representatives in the state house here. These individuals need our prayer. Not only that they would make righteous decisions, but then also that they'd be saved. Not only them, but their families as well. And I believe as a church, we ought to pray for our leaders. And for those that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Do I want to see bad things happen? Absolutely not. But we ought to pray rather than complain. Pray rather than complain. So another thing that I got, we made up here, this binder right here, I'll be leaving it on the organ. So I know some individuals can't make it on Wednesday nights, so we usually take prayer requests on Wednesday nights. So this is pretty self-explanatory. It's got sheets in here where you can write down your name, the prayer request you desire to be put into the bulletin for the next month. Right now we're taking prayer requests for the month of April. If you'd like a prayer request put in the bulletin for people to pray for in the month of April, please write it down in this prayer book here. It's got the prayer request and then also how long you want it in there. Some people only want it in for a month. Some want it in there until the request is answered. So there's a little box here to check whether you just want it in there for a month and then taken out for the month of May, or you want it in there until it's answered. And then you might have it in there and it's answered and you don't want it no longer in the prayer list. There's also a box in here for you to go back and check it for it to be removed. Okay, pretty self-explanatory. Again, if you got prayer requests, I know sometimes people bring up a prayer request and they don't want it put in a bulletin. So just to make it accessible for those that maybe can't make it Wednesday night, yet they still like something for everybody to pray about and for it to be published for everybody to pray about, just write it in here and we'll get it in more well for the month of April. If you got any questions about that further, please just ask me and I'll try to explain it better for you. Also, we made a card up for Brother McDonald. He was here with us last week, missionary to the Jewish people, not only here, but maybe he tried to go over to Israel at some point. But we made up a little thank you card for him coming by and sharing his ministry with us. So if you'd like to, I'm going to leave it here tonight and probably Wednesday night as well. If you'd like to just write a little something in there to him, tell him we appreciate him coming by and just encourage him for the work that he's trying to do to the Jewish people, feel free to write it in this card here that we made for him. Amen. I also just want to thank the ladies, all the ladies that took time to make some food for the prayer breakfast. I got a prayer request that next time more ladies cook because there wasn't enough variety. Quite disappointed in the variety we had. I know we had some complaints already that the pancakes were too big for our plates. So that's an issue. So we'll try to rectify that next time. The ladies that made the pancakes, now come on. I'm playing around. We also got a request too that we had a complaint that the strawberries didn't have chocolate on them. What's this world coming to? I don't know about these ladies in this church where we just won't put chocolate on our strawberries. No, I'm very, very thankful. Very, very thankful for those that helped out and donated for our stomachs yesterday morning. It was very good. And Lord willing, we'll try to do another one again in April or May.
Because I'm
the toast. Just like the ladies cook for the men, I'm going to be cooking for you. I might splurge and buy some waffles. Amen.
We will get the high end. We'll get the Eggos. We won't get like the store brand. Now, I have to second that, though. I'll tell you what. We joke and we were teasing yesterday. We're like, oh man, there's only 14 kinds of eggs and 13 kinds of pastries and every kind of fruit ever created by God was there. We tease, but honestly, I mean, it does not go unnoticed, the hard work that ladies put in and the food, and I mean, how excellent the food was. I'll tell you what, best grits I've ever eaten, those grits. Whew. Came home, she'll never eat it because there's shrimp in it, but give me that shrimp and grits, I'll eat that 3 days a week. That is good stuff. I mean, we really do appreciate it. I know we like to tease, but honestly, we are thankful for the ladies and the hard work you guys put in, and how things just go so seamlessly. Trust me, if the guys were trying to cook that much food, half of it would be burnt, half of it would be cold, the other half wouldn't be cooked yet. So we do appreciate you. We had such a great time yesterday. And thank you for the Bible study we had and just being able to get together with a few guys and to learn about how to be godly men, which is needed in this time for sure, especially in this country. Seems like weird for me to say. I don't feel like I'm that old. Cruising over to 39 here soon. I feel like I'm still pretty young. And I think in my lifetime I'd see American men not being men. It's a weird thing to see. It's a shame that we've destroyed men, we've destroyed women, and people are confused about which is which. And we need to get back to being men, and most importantly, being godly men. You know, I've heard someone say, I forget who it was, but it's like, you know, men get mad at these women that want to be men, but the reason they want to be men is because men ain't being men, and someone's got to step up. So it's on us as men to get back to the book, to walk with God, and be the leaders that our women need us to be. So I'm thankful for that Bible study. I'm looking forward to another one, you know, weekly, Bible, daily, I mean. But anyhow, for our last song here, we're going to turn to page 175. And if you're able, I'd ask you to please stand with me, and we're going to sing There Is a Bell.
And if you take your Bibles this morning, we're going to continue on our study regarding the house of the Lord, regarding to not only the physical house of God, but also our lives as being a spiritual temple for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the Holy Spirit to dwell in. And we're going through the kings that are found in the Bible, specifically the kings of Judah, and how they treated and how they had respect or lack of respect towards the physical temple that God had for them to build under King David. So if you take your Bibles this morning, we're going to pick up in 1 Kings, or actually, 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 28. 1 Kings 8, 28. 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse number 28. 1 Kings 8, verse number 28. 1 Kings 8, 28. Read these verses here to verse 30. Actually, look at verse 27. It says, Solomon's speaking here, and he says, But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and heavens, or heaven of heavens, cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I have builded. Yet have thou respect unto the prayer of thy servant, and to the supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and to the prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee today, that thine eyes may be opened toward this house night and day, even toward the place of which thou hast said, my name shall be there, that thou mayest hearken unto the prayer which thy servant shall make toward this place. And hearken thou to the supplication of thy servant and of thy people Israel, when they shall pray towards this place, and hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and when thou hearest, forgive. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, dear God. I thank you for another opportunity, Lord, to be in the church house, dear God. I thank you for salvation, Lord. I thank you for your mercy and your grace and your long-suffering to me, dear Lord. And Lord, I ask now, Father, that you would just lead, guide, and direct, dear God, in all that's said and done. Lord, that you be glorified, magnified, Lord, that our lives would draw closer to you, Lord, that, Lord, you would increase in our life, and, Lord, we would decrease. Dear God, that we love you more than we loved you yesterday. And, Father, that we may be looking consistently for your appearing. Lord, help us to be ready, dear God, for that moment you call us home to heaven. And, Lord, we pray these things now in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So here I looked at last week concerning David and how he had a desire. And I said last week how it all starts with a desire. It all starts with a desire, what we want, what's in our heart. And David, he desired that he could have the ability to build a house that the Lord could dwell in. Not a tabernacle that moved around, but a permanent fixture there in Jerusalem. It was in David's heart to build a temple and a house for the Lord. And we looked at last week, and as we go on through these coming weeks, about four things concerning the building of this temple. The building of this temple that is on David's heart, and how it can be applied to our own personal lives as the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. We're going to look at the purpose. The purpose. What is the purpose of having to build this temple that David wants to build? What is the purpose? And then once you have the purpose, you need a pattern. Okay, it can be purposed in your heart to live for God, but I believe God also gives us the pattern in order to follow that purpose. And then next, once you have the pattern or the purpose and the pattern, you now need to start preparing. You need to start preparing your life. You need to start. David had to start preparing for his son Solomon when he came on the scene to be able to build that temple. And then lastly, you need to have the performance. It does no good to have purpose, a pattern, and a preparation without the performance. It does no good to come to church with a purpose. It does no good to have the preacher talk and speak to you and you during your own Bible study to find out the pattern on how you ought to live. And then have the ability and the preparation to do so without the implementation. I used to say this to the kids in the juvenile center all the time, the young men and ladies I used to talk to is, I can hand you the keys to my car. I can give you the keys. I can help and teach you and show you and try to put forth what God says for us to do. I can hand you the keys.
But it does no good unless you get in a car, turn a car on, and start driving it. You're not going to get where you want to be by just having the keys in the car. You got to be able to get in the car and go. And that's the way it is in our Christian life. It does no good to just have a purpose. It does no good to have the pattern or even the ability and the preparation to do so without the implementation of living it. And so I want to look at these things, and I think as we go through this study and we start seeing the kings of Judah, we start seeing where they start falling short and how the emphasis they put on the house of God. So last week we looked at the purpose of it, and there's four purposes. There's probably many more that we can come up with, but I came up with four purposes for the house of God. Number one, to glorify, worship, and praise God, because he's worthy of it. Jesus Christ is worthy of all our praise, adoration, glory, anything that we can. He is worthy of it all. You know, let not the devil deceive us. Let not the devil think that you're better than your fellow man. See, we often look at people like Mussolini or Hitler or Stalin or world leaders that have done bad things. We might have done the exact same thing if the cribs were switched around. You know, Hitler, at one point, he was a little baby boy that people, oh, is that your little baby boy? Yeah, it was my little baby boy. I had him. When was he born? How much did he weigh? Because of circumstances, he was raised up the way he was. Brethren, do we deserve hell? No, preacher, I don't deserve hell. Then you don't know yourself. If you say you don't deserve hell, then you're saying basically you're good. There's none good but one, and that's God. Jesus said that. Jesus said, why callest thou me good? Basically what Jesus is saying, don't call me good because there's none good but God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Brethren, we're no better than Hitler. Outside of Jesus Christ, we deserve hell. That's a hard pill for some people to swallow. I don't deserve hell, preacher. I didn't do all the things he did. Yeah, you didn't have the opportunity. We don't realize how desperately wicked our heart is. Let's read the book of Jeremiah. It's deceitful above all things. Don't let your heart trick you in thinking that you're just fine. No, we're not just fine. We get in trouble when we think we're okay. That's when we get in trouble. We're not okay. And it's outside of God's, listen, without God's mercy and grace, who knows where we would be. If some of us didn't get saved in here, who knows? Some of us might be in prison right now. Who knows where we would be without the grace of God in our life? I say these things because God desires for us to be humble. God desires for us to be humble and realize that it's only by his mercy and grace that we have the ability to come into this church this morning and worship and praise and glorify him. You see, not only the purpose is to glorify and worship him, the other purpose of the temple and the house of God is if it be a place of prayer. Take your Bible, look at Isaiah chapter 56, verse 7. We read in 1 Kings there, starting out this morning, and Solomon is praying, and the Lord desires for his house is to be a house of prayer. Take your Bible, look at Isaiah chapter 56 and verse 7. Another reason we come to church is not only to glorify and worship God, but also to pray to our God, to intercede and make supplications unto our God, that God may answer our prayers according to his will. Look at Isaiah chapter 56 and verse number 7. Isaiah 56 and verse 7. The Bible says here, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called what? An house of prayer for all people. Another reason that we come to church and we have this building, this physical building, is not only to worship and lift up our voices in praise to our God, but also to come together and pray and ask God to intercede upon our behalf. I talked about with the men yesterday morning how God is looking for an intercessor. God is looking for someone to stand in the gap. Someone to make up that gap. Someone that will pray in their prayer closet for not only our country, but also for our community and for our church and for others. Brian, you're right. It's a blessing that to have somebody praying for us. I'm thankful for loved ones and friends that prayed for me when I was lost. I'm very thankful for some individual, particular individuals that I know were praying for me when I had questions about the things of God. I'm so thankful that they didn't quit on me, but they prayed for me. God desires for that temple, the third temple that would get built over there, for it to be a house of prayer. That temple that David had Solomon build, his son build, that temple was built to be a house of prayer. But what did Jesus say? You made it a den of thieves. Jesus rebuked him over it. Jesus had righteous indignation when he went into that temple. When he didn't go into that temple all nice and, hey, can you all please get these goats out of here? Hey, how about these sheep? And you know, no, he went in there. He made a cord of a whip. He flipped tables over and he had righteous indignation over what they had made the house of God. It is a house of prayer. It is to be a house of prayer. Jesus says in Matthew 21:13, and he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. So not only is the physical temple and the physical church to be a place to where we come and pray, our bodies, our spiritual temple, who we are with the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, we ought also to be in prayer. Take your Bible, look at Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter 1. We ought to pray. We ought to pray. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 9. Look what the Bible says here. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 9. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of the news. Strength. No. Brethren, it ties back into Sunday school hour. You want strength. I'm not talking about physical strength. I'm talking about spiritual strength. To make it through the days that are coming down. You want spiritual strength. You want help. How do you get strength? He says, strengthen how? With all might, according to what? To his glorious power, with all patience and long suffering, with joyfulness. You want the key to strength that's found also in verse number 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Brethren, we now have the true light. And we need to pray consistently that God helps us to stay in his perfect will, that what we do and how we live our lives is pleasing in his sight. Brethren, what good does it do to our neighbors or those that we try to witness to if we act just like they act? What good does it do? What difference do they see that they would say, well, I want what you got if you act just like they act? One of the easiest things to do, I believe, in life is to complain and to get upset. I believe it's one of the easiest things in life to do, and it's something I think we all struggle with. Brethren, I don't like myself sometimes. Most of the time, I don't like myself. I was driving with my wife the other day. We had to go do something. And I was on a road around here somewhere in these communities here. And I used to be a state trooper, so sometimes I wish I had a blue light. I know there are red and blue lights up here. But we just have blue lights back down south. And sometimes I wish I could just have my badge back and my gun and a taser. My baton, some pepper spray, and my blue light. I wish sometimes I could just throw that blue light on top of that van and say, honey, hang on. Just hang on. I wish I could just do a bootleg in the grass and fly around and pull somebody over because they irritated me. Oh, I wish I could do that sometimes. And I wish sometimes I could drag them out of that car, throw the handcuffs on them, tase them before I do so. Rather than I just wish I could do that sometime. So the other day, I was being my meek, humble self while I was driving. Because you know, I'm the pastor, so I got it all together. Just want to let you know that. And so I was meek and humble, and I had pride abased. I had it under control. So I pull up behind this 18-wheeler. It stops in the roadway. And I have room to go around the other side. Well, there was somebody behind me that had a loud car, which I just love those loud cars when they drive by my bedroom at night. And I proceed to pull out to go around his truck. Well, Mr. Fellow in the back decides to do the same thing and cut me off. And the good Christian that I am floored it and followed after him. And my wife says, "What are you doing?" "Nothing." Brethren, when I preach to you, I preach to myself. And I didn't have the right attitude. I wanted to pull him out of the car. I wanted to pull him over. But the Lord says, "Yeah, but you have need of patience." "Yes, Lord." And you know, my first instinct is to get an attitude towards my wife. "You just sit over there and be quiet." No, she was right. I was wrong. So I had to apologize to my wife as well. "I'm sorry that I didn't handle that situation correctly. It took all I had to do it." But see, the devil likes nothing better than to get us lifted up with pride, and we have a right. I have a right to be angry at that man. God has every right to be angry at us. Yet God shows us mercy. Yet God's long-suffering. How many times do we cut God off in our life? How many times do we cut God off in our life and speed past his will in our life and do what we want to do? How many we make a left turn when God's wanting us to make a right turn, but we think we know what we're doing? And God shows mercy and God shows grace. How many times God's telling us to stop doing something, but we run the red light anyways? And God's merciful to us. Brad, and this thought keeps coming across my mind that I have no right to raise my fist at anything. Because I believe as soon as I start raising my fist at anything, God says, "I have a right to raise a fist to you." "Yes, Lord. Mercy, dear God, mercy, grace." Brethren, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, "Pray without ceasing." 1 Thessalonians 5:25 says, "Brethren, pray for us." 1 Timothy 2:8 says, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting." I couldn't have prayed in that situation because I had some wrath in me. I was angry. I was angry at the situation. You know why? Because he cut me off and he had no right to cut me off, because how does he not realize that I own the roadways around here? Basically, essentially, that's what I'm saying. My needs before your needs, sir. I deserve to pull out before you because I'm Chris Welton. You don't realize that, but I want you to realize that. Brother, that's what we say and that's what we speak. What we're saying is us first. And what does Jesus say about those that will go first? They'll be last. You see, these are the hard principles to put in practice in life. These are the hard things to put in practice. Go ahead, let's just take a little trip, and I know let's take a little trip this week, and I know I said it before, and just try to show grace while you drive this week. Right? That's what I believe, that's what the Lord puts the emphasis on. I believe those are the training grounds. I believe those are the purging times where God's trying to, if we'll listen during those times, I believe God's trying to teach us and grow us and make us what we would have to be. Lord, if I can't handle something, somebody cut me off in traffic, how can I handle what the people in Ukraine are going through right now? See, we think we're spiritual, when in reality, we're probably, most of us, still babes in Christ, carnal. We can't handle the spiritual meat. You see, I think we have a misconfused view of what spiritual meat is. I believe we can barely drink the milk of God's word, much less the meat that's contained therein. If we can't be patient with those that are out there, how are we going to be patient if a soldier comes in and takes over our country? Jesus did not lead a rebellion against Roman occupation. You know, you realize that, right? When Jesus lived, he was under Roman occupation. The Jews weren't in control. And what did Jesus do? Going around doing good. You know what Jesus said? If a soldier come up to you and say, carry my bag a mile, which a Jew had to do, it was Roman law that if a Roman soldier said, carry my bag, they had to carry that bag for a mile. What did Jesus say to do? Carry it two. How many Christians wouldn't gripe and complain about carrying it just the one? Much less having the character to say, I'll carry it 2 miles for you. You know what that humility and that brokenness and that lack of pride in that Jewish man would do to that Roman soldier? Can you imagine if that Roman soldier come in and said, "Hey, I got a 20 mile march ahead of me. I got to be in this next town by tomorrow morning. Hey, come here, take my pack. It's law. You got to take it. Pick it up." "Yeah, it is. Yes, sir. I'll pick it up. I'll carry it for you." "What'd you just call me?" "I said, yes, sir. I'll carry it for you." "What do you mean you call me sir?" "I'll carry it for you." He's quiet. You're carrying it for him the whole mile. And that soldier's like, "Man, you ain't complaining. You ain't saying one word yet. You quiet the whole time. All right, put it down. Put the sack down. Put my pack down. It's been a mile. You don't have to carry it no more. Just put it down. I got to get going. Come on, I'm busy." "Hey, if you want me to, I'll carry it another mile." "What'd you say? Stop playing games with me." Whack. Turn the other cheek. That's Bible. "I said I'd carry it too for you. I know you got a rough job. I know you don't like being here. I know your wife and kids are back there in Rome. I'll carry it another mile for you." Either that man will start breaking down in tears or you'll drive him crazy. You carry that second mile, either that man will break down in tears like, "What? What is different?" Let me tell you about a man named Jesus. I met him last week and I sat and listened to some of his teaching, and he told me that if I got to carry a pack a mile, to carry it two. And if I get smacked in the face, to turn the other cheek. And let me tell you about this Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you'd help me this morning, dear God. Whew. Lord, that's rough, dear God, that's rough. Lord, I pray you'd help the brethren of this church, dear God. Lord, I pray we'd examine our hearts. Lord, I pray we'd examine our attitudes, dear God. Lord, I pray you'd forgive me this rotten flesh, dear God, and the times I let it get the best of me. It's like Paul said, "Lord, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death, dear God?" Oh, Lord, help us, dear God, to get where we need to be spiritually. Oh, Lord, I pray you'd help us. God, help us to examine ourselves. Lord, not only us examine ourselves, but Lord, as David prayed, Lord, that you'd examine us. And Lord, I pray as you'd examine us, dear God, you'd help us to see clearly where we stand with you, dear Lord. Lord, that we would have a Christianity that's real. Lord, that our Christianity wouldn't just be mere words that I believe in Jesus, but it would be an action as well. Lord, this world doesn't need to hear any more about I believe in Jesus. They need to see people who walk like Jesus. God, I pray you'd help me, Lord, to walk in the light as you're in the light, dear Lord. Help me to follow in your footsteps, Lord. Help me to walk humbly, dear God. Lord, I know it's so hard to pray, Lord. Your word says you have need of patience, dear God, but it's so hard to pray for patience, Lord, because sometimes you don't want to face what might come down the line that may give us patience or what we might need to go through to be able to get patience. God, I know I dread it, but Lord, I know I need it. So I pray you'd help Ray Street Baptist Church, Lord, help us to have patience with all men. God, help us to stay humble with our God. Lord, help us to love others, Lord, as you love this world. For God so loved the world, Lord, if you love the world, help us to love the world through Jesus Christ. God, help us to love the one that cuts us off in traffic. Realize, Lord, that he might not make it till next week. Lord, we don't know these things, dear God. Lord, help us with the cashier who gives us an attitude. May we realize, Lord, they might have something going on in their life and they feel like nobody cares about them, and that's why they're so angry. God, help us to live for you, Lord. Help us to be led by the Holy Spirit of God. Soften our hearts, dear Lord. Help us to have a tenderness, dear God, for the lost. Lord, help us to have a love. Help us to have a joy and peace and comfort, Lord, that comes from you. Lord, that this world can see a difference in us as the brethren here at Ray Street Baptist Church. Lord, for your glory, for your honor, for your praise, because you've shown these things to us. And we ask these things now in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, brethren. I'm going to end with that. I know it's short this morning, but I want us to just think and dwell upon these things that were said this morning. That God would help us to get where we need to be in our lives, our Christian walk, and that we would take them to heart. So I'm going to close with this. We're not even going to close with a song. I love you. I'm praying for you. Please pray for me. I covet your prayers. And may the Lord just dismiss us with his blessings, and Lord willing, see you again tonight. Amen. Love y'all. Amen.